It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. I cannot believe that it is Tuesday, August 24th, but it is. Somebody asked me today if I thought it was fall yet, and no, but there actually are some.
It's August 25th.
It is neither.
It's 25th.
You're making it up.
25th.
Fine. Fine. That's. I still can't believe it's not fall. Some of the leaves are beginning to turn. Anyway, this is, in fact, our 151st episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, Steve Johann, the producer, and, you know, we're continuing to be heard on iTunes and iHeart Podcast and Spotify, of course, Podomatic.com. Our home site, as well as Stitcher and TuneIn and Player FM, which I listened to a little bit of today just to see what, you know, that particular site was all about.
Cool.
We sound good on there. Of course, we sound good no matter where we are. thanks, you guys, for liking and following our Facebook page, too, because we're getting some more likes on there, and that's good. Our first segment, as usual, is called Back to the Blacktop, and that's where Steve brings out all the new and cool automotive news and information that he has garnered over the week. And it is cool this week, is it not?
Cooler. It is, and here's the thing. I was out last night, met with my buddy. We always meet on Monday evenings.
Wait, you have friends?
Yes, and non-car friends.
Oh, good.
Anyway, we finished off at about 8:15, and I'm going, it's getting cold. And I was out with my shorts and T-shirt. I got home, and by 8:30, it was dark. And I realized my summer is gone. Well, I love it when it stays light till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, there's something to be said
for that. Of course, those who live in the South don't understand, but here in the Puget Sound, it stays light till 10 o'clock at night. You can actually see very well. So
and you can see the northern lights.
Well, no, not here.
Shimmering in it. No, not quite.
Marsh and I were in Leavenworth Sunday, and it was 101.
Wow. Yes.
101 at 4:30.
That's
yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Nice, though.
That's up on the pass, too, so that's beautiful. Well, every couple of years, we see various models or platforms put to rest, and 2021 is no different.
Yes.
The following is a list of cars that will no longer be made come 2021.
Oh, I thought you were talking about models. Different kind of models, I guess.
No, I'm talking
like
about
models wherever I can.
Well, yes, but I used to like to build models and paint them, and our good friend Lance still does. So.
Is this weird science we're talking about now?
Oh, God, jeez. It was a bad movie. Bad movie.
Chat happens.
Anyhow, jeez, guys.
At what point did you lose control of the show?
He never had it.
So, guys.
Anyway, I think we broke Steve.
Oh, no.
So here's the list.
Okay, give us a list.
Acura RLX, Alfa Romeo 4C, the BMW i8, Buick Regal, the Cadillac CT6, Chevrolet Impala, Chevrolet Sonic, Dodge Grand Caravan, Dodge Journey, Ford Fusion, Honda Civic Si, and Civic Coupe. Civic Coupe, wow.
Civic? See, the Impala, that's a long, you know, long history
Civic
there.
Civic Coupe?
I think that's too bad. The Civic is something. And what, the Caravan, the Grand Caravan?
The Grand Caravan.
That started it all.
That's the one that actually started the whole minivan craze.
Well,
1984.
Volkswagen's minivan started the whole thing.
A little different.
Yeah. American,
but yes, I mean, amazing.
And then Lexus GS, the Honda Fit, the Lincoln Continental, the Lincoln MKZ,
the
Mercedes,
Lincoln Continental.
Brands SLC, and the Toyota Yaris. And some of those, we can see why they're being removed right now.
The Yaris.
Some of them.
But some of them were like, wow.
Mainstay staples.
Those are mainstay staples. Been around for a long time. Now, am I correct that they've dropped and brought back the Impala?
The Impala was gone for a while,
Yes.
Prior to it, it may be back. Yeah, I would think.
It was a mainstay. They took it off. They brought it back in a smaller version.
Which was horrible.
Yeah. But it is what it is.
They tried to bring the Malibu back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was a sad commentary.
But the Honda Civic Coupe, that was like the
that's like one of their
staples.
Yeah, everybody Civic lasts forever. My sisters had three or four of them.
And oh, they last forever.
20 years each. My sister's 111 years old.
Well,
and
my Accord.
Don't start with she's
trouble.
Your younger sister. Okay,
that's
fine.
Right.
Fine.
Well, two stories to keep that keep giving and don't give up is one is Volkswagen AG remains under the prying eyes of Germany's Motor Vehicle Authority, KBA, now courtesy of probe of Porsche AG concerning potential manipulation of emissions data testing results of its gas-powered engines. Not the diesel. Now it's the gas-powered engines.
Those things are responsible for all of our climate problems.
Yes, they are.
No, they're
and,
not.
No, just not look up close. In the sky every so often and see them spraying. But anyway, I diverge. I go aside. Up next is the Uber Lyft. It has gotten a little reprieve. So 2 hours before Lyft was set to shut down
this
its operation in California,
yeah.
a federal judge gave the ride-hailing service, along with rival Uber, a reprieve, temporarily blocking the state's move to have drivers declared employees rather than independent contractors. So they're going to hold out a little bit longer. It'll give them a little more time to build up the muster. I think they're just playing games because we know that they're not going to give up on this. They want to make employees out of it. At least in California. So we'll be tracking that as we go along, and we will track the Volkswagen AG as it goes along. Now, speaking of things that go along, these guys go very fast. At Bonneville Speed Week, they just saw another record set by the Lucas Oil-sponsored Speed Demon, which laid down a two-way average of 470.015 miles per hour.
Unfortunately, because of social distancing, nobody was there to see it.
Oh, gosh.
If she had a set of wings, she could fly.
It looks like a jet without wings.
Well,
that's a streamliner.
The streamliners have always looked like
they
that.
Have.
I mean, that was just kind of the thing.
And so, how did they do it? They were able to do it because
not much weight.
They have been. It's powered by 3,156 horsepower, 557 cubic inch twin turbo. Charge big block engine.
Think about that, though. That's, I mean, it's obviously dedicated to the whole idea of going fast in a straight line and staying on the ground, but 3,000 horsepower is about half, less than half, of what a top fuel dragster,
I know,
you know, puts out. It's just that these things have got to run a lot longer. A
couple miles.
Yes, five miles.
And just time-wise.
5 miles.
You know, they're running at that kind of RPM.
Do you think a top flight engine used in a dragster could actually hold out for 5 miles?
Well, no, it's not designed to.
No.
Not at all.
So
not at all.
The fact is,
you're lucky to get 20 seconds out of it.
Yeah. Before they
that's burnouts and
blow
the
length of a mile.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not even close.
That's right. So, speaking of big blocks, this might be something of interest to Brady. Harley-Davis has just announced it will be offering
Who?
A Harley-Davidson. Will be offering the Screaming Eagle 131 crate motor, which produces 124 horsepower and 135 foot-pounds of torque, designed to fit into a number of newer soft-tail machines which can handle the power.
They got a whole different frame geometry from the original soft-tails. And back in the day, and I say back in the day, probably 10, 12 years ago, there was an outfit called Jim's, and Jim's makes high-performance V-twin motors. And they had they literally called it the Brute, and it was 141 cubic inches, which is frightening. It was a V-twin, but it wouldn't fit in any of those frames. It was taller and wider, and you had to basically kind of reconstruct the frame
motor. Just like the S&S's.
Now, of course, this is the way 113 is the standard. And now this is 131,
which comes out at,
and they're going to put it in a modified softtail frame,
2,151 cubic centimeters.
Yeah, that's about right. The conversion is 0.62, so yeah, that's about right.
So, kicking out for Harley, that's pretty good.
That's huge.
These are crate motors, by the way.
I've loved Harley-Davidson for years. However, they blew it for me in one particular respect. When they had the 100th anniversary, which is 2003,
right?
They could have done 100 cc's at the 100th anniversary,
yes.
But they didn't.
No.
They could have done 110.
They did the 98, didn't they?
96.
96.
They could have done the 110 at the 110th anniversary, but they didn't. I'm like, you guys are missing this huge marketing thing. You could have just killed it.
I think you missed your mark, Brady.
They don't
been in marketing.
They didn't need my advice. I guess they're still successful, but
yeah.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We got a bunch of really cool stuff coming up on the Windshield View. We're going to talk with Kevin Stone, a Canadian fab guy, and I'm not talking the Beatles. All of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, it's Hillary Nowak from Ink and Iron in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We can't help you with the horsepower, but we can definitely help you with the chrome and rust.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, featuring Kevin Stone.
That's right. Kevin Stone of a Canadian fab shop, which doesn't mean that he fabs Canadians. The name of the place is Stone's Speed Shop, and if you go to stonespeedshop.com, you will see a whole bunch of really cool stuff that he does with cars. And there's another site that has to do with his artwork. We're going to talk about all of that. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. You sound great. The signal across the border is spectacular.
Better
tonight
than some of the ones we get here in the States.
you guys perfect. You got better cable than we do. I wanted to kind of start it off by asking, not many of our guests have multiple websites because they are, you know, they tend to focus on, you know, one particular thing, but you got actually two pretty richly populated websites. One of them is about your speed shop, of course, and we're going to talk about that. The other one is about your kind of art projects, and you're the true definition of a metal fabricator, are you not?
Sure, yeah. Well, it's been a long career. I mean, I started when I was 19 and started earlier with cars than that. I mean, I grew up around cars, so, you know, kind of was wrenching on cars since I was 10 or 11, and the artwork just started through my career in welding. I became a journeyman fabricator welder when I was young, and then through a shop that led into the artwork. So the artwork kind of branched off of my 9-to-5 job,
sure,
which actually turned into a 9-to-5 job. So I did my artwork full time for pretty close to 15 years, and I still do my artwork, but it's down to about a project a year now. And sometimes less. I've had the speed shop now for going into 9 years here pretty soon, and that's been my full-time gig since we opened. So,
well, that's pretty cool. I usually try to ask this of everybody that we have on that's, you know, mechanical at all. So as a kind of an opener, everybody has some particular either project or car or event that's sort of turned them towards this kind of hobby. And I'm just curious, when you were young, was there a time or a particular thing you're working on that said, yep, this is kind of what I want to do?
No, I think just an overall passion for cars. I grew up in a gas station in the early 70s.
Okay.
And down the road was a couple of guys that built hot rods and, you know, blower cars, and One of the guys had a 4-door 55 Chevy that had been shortened into a 2-door.
Okay.
And they had a blown 427 in it that did wheelies everywhere, and he wasn't shy about pulling wheelies through intersections and stuff. And you know, just being around those type of cars as a kid and seeing them, and I even at a very early age could identify cars, from their taillights or from their, even at night, I could tell their headlights and their park lights, what it was coming down the street at us.
Sure.
And, you know, with my parents, when we were driving at night, it was almost a game of identifying cars. And at an early age, I just had a passion for it. And, you know, we grew up in high school wrenching on cars, and
yeah,
and everybody wanted to have the fastest car or the nicest car, and you couldn't afford to go out and buy one, so you had to build them.
Yeah.
So that's where we got started. I mean, we always, all my friends, all of us, you know, we couldn't go out and buy new cars or finance cars, and so we'd, you know, find beaters and fix them up, and that's where it all started.
So Kevin, I wanted to ask you, where did you grow up?
I grew up on Vancouver Island. I was born in Victoria on the island, and grew up in Ladysmith, Nanaimo area.
Yeah. Yep. It's funny. I was actually going to ask you about, you know, your headlight and taillight identification game. When I was a kid, I'm maybe a little older than you, but we did it back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, up until probably the mid 80s. Car manufacturers, both American and foreign, they spent, you know, quite a bit of time in R&D and styling exercises, and the cars looked a little different every year. So there was,
absolutely,
you know, there was an art to making them. And of course, some of the famous coach makers, you know, that was the thing that you looked for. And then all of a sudden, sometime in the late 80s, they all started looking like electric shavers. And it's not as much fun for the kids now, you know, knowing the cars now is a little bit different thing. But I'm glad to hear that you kind of came up that way, because it's one of the things that sort of separates car people from non-car people. I love my wife dearly, but she knows some of the big ones, but not all of them. And it's just a, you know, it's like I like cars as opposed to I love cars. And that game was one of the things that kind of put you there. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you could also.
Yeah, no, it's.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, my wife, too. I mean, she when we met, 12 years ago, she knew nothing about vehicles and automotive. And we started the shop together. And now she can drive down the street and is that a Pontiac? You know, and even some rare cars, and she identifies them, and it's quite surprising. She's really picked up on it. So
it's heartwarming, actually. I say, my wife is the same. She was sort of a non-car person, and now she has a 51 Hudson pacemaker that we're restoring. So, all right, she went for the fat fender car. You know, God love her. That's just great.
Yeah.
So tell me about your first shop. How did that one come about, and what happened there?
So in the hot rod shop area?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, what it was is I was doing my artwork full time, and, I got into a bad business partner and kind of got screwed put a halt on my artwork fairly quickly. And so then it was, it was a choice of, I've got all this fab equipment. I've been building my artwork for so long, and I have a serious passion, live, eat, and breathe cars. And, in between my artwork, I was even building cars at home, and I always have. I've always painted cars and always built cars at home and fixed friends' cars up and stuff. And I thought, do I take this serious and open a business, or do I, go back to work and just keep my tools as a hobby shop? I actually, my parents are passed away, but I actually had a little family meeting with my wife's parents, my in-laws, and just asked for their advice, what they thought I should do, because I was kind of in a bad place, going through a breakup of my business that I was doing. And so they just said, well, go with your passion if you love cars, and so that's what I did. I ended up opening up a shop, and we went out and we bought three cars to open the shop. So I bought a split bumper Camaro, I bought a 67 Formula S fastback Barracuda, and I bought a 1967 Firebird convertible, and they were all basically project cars.
Sure.
And I just wanted to fill the shop at that time with some project cars that I could work on and, you know, have something on the go in the shop. And I started off with the impression that I'd just build these cars and flip them, earn a bit of money, and then, you know, as jobs come in the door, that's how I started. So the first car I restored was the Barracuda, and then that sold, and it turned out beautiful, and I had a split bumper Camaro, and then a customer came in and wanted me to not only sell it to him, but to restore it for him. So that led into my actual first big build and first full restoration in the shop.
Nice.
And it just snowballed from there. Word got out, and, you know, then we, after a year or two, we started taking our cars to the local shows and competing, and we started winning all the shows that we were entering. We were winning first place at
That's
all
That's always nice, so if you thought, can well, say that.
You know, my guys must be doing something right if we're going up against guys that have had established shops for a while and we're coming out with the trophies. So I was really proud of my guys.
Cool.
And
as
and,
you should be.
Everybody worked hard and have a good dedicated crew and and we just never looked back. It's just been steady, busy. So,
well, I want to hear more about that. We got a break coming up here for sure, and on the other side, we'll talk a little bit more about your car business, but also some of your art stuff. That's fascinating. We're also going to talk about the websites and where you folks that are listening can go and see all of this stuff. Kevin Stone from Stone Speed Shop is our guest on Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and we will be back in mere moments. So put it in park. Don't go anywhere. We promise to be right back. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are. We are back in Vehicle City with the second half of the Windshield View and on Chrome Horsepower and Rust. And let's get back to what Kevin Stone was telling us about. Kevin, we left off with you just telling us about the Shorty Chevy earlier on. And Ron, you said off air, you started telling a story. We're like, no, Ron, get
Ron,
that story
Ron's
on here.
Ron had
There's
one
a connection
shorties.
Here.
Yeah, Ron had one of those Shorties, didn't you?
Yeah, and it was like it was a 1975. I had a 1955 Shorty that I traded a 1926 Essex for that I got over in Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
And my cousin had this 55 Chevy that was running around Cashmere, And when he bought it, it had a 427, and they were running around Kashmir and Wenatchee doing wheelies all over the town with that. The bumper was all scarred up and messed up, and the rear end was, you turn, because it was so short and that positive traction rear end, it would clunk, clunk, clunk when you tried to turn tightly.
Yeah. I got to ask, what color was it?
It was, when I got it, it was like 17 different colors.
Oh.
Yeah, it was all, it was just a bunch of.
Did you paint it while you had it?
Yeah, I painted it red.
Now, wait, didn't you just get another shorty?
I just picked up another 56.
Yeah. I thought.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got a 56 shorty now. I'm going to kind of rebuild my childhood, so to speak.
There you go.
Hot rodding.
Yeah, sure. What now, does that one have a motor yet, or are you not?
No, not, I just got a 454. Yeah, 454 big block for it.
Oh, and, all right.
Turbo 400 for it.
Yeah, and a thumper for that.
That's coming. Slowly but surely. I have other projects going on before it, so.
That's cool. Well, I know we were talking about this a little bit before this segment. Ron is a pretty darn good metal artist himself. He's had a number of pieces. We actually had the Washington State Hot Rod Hall of Fame annual dinner a couple of years ago, and they were displaying some art from some of the members, and Ron had a really nice mobile motion type of moving is what I'm trying to say. Moving,
yes, moving art.
Piece of artwork, yeah.
Kinetic, yeah.
Yep. Thank you. I knew there was a word that it was in there. It had more syllables than I could remember. But, you guys probably have that in common. Tell us a little bit about the artwork. I know you're not doing as much as you used to.
Like
you
that
said.
Dragon. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so how it started really is I was in a stainless steel shop. My career had led me down multiple paths of metal fabrication. I was in the shipyard. I was doing commercial steel and hanging iron and iron working and doing bridges and stuff. And then that led into the shipyard, and I was a fabricator, TIG welder, and then eventually turned into a welding inspector at the shipyard. And we had a bit of a fiasco up here with some ships that we were building, and it turned into a kind of a political situation. So I was deciding that, you know, it wasn't for me. There's going to be a lot of guys getting laid off, hundreds of guys getting laid off. And I thought I better get out early. I actually left the shipyard and left the union early to make sure that I had a job. And I got into breweries and doing stainless steel and the finishing work that comes along with doing high-end brewery equipment all in stainless steel. And
oh, yeah.
That's sort of what led into the background that I had for my artwork. That led, you know, to all the skills I have. And then one of the shops that I was working at asked me to build a gargoyle.
Oh, okay.
The
there you go.
They wanted the gargoyle for the roof of the building just to draw some attention to the skills and the metal fabrication that was being done in the shop. And that kind of snowballed. So that led into a financial backer that led into my first piece. And then my first piece led into another financial backer to do the dragon. And it started off to do another eagle, which I did. And then that snowballed into the dragon kind of back to back. And the dragon, I would, at this point, is my biggest accomplishment. It was about a 9,000-hour project.
Wow.
So I worked on that, you know, just endless hours. I worked on it for 2 years, 7 days a week, you know, anywhere from a 10 to 18-hour day, depending how inspired I was. And had, you know, various help. I mean, I had a company do all the water jetting for all the scales for
all
me.
Right.
And then I had another company, AMCE or AMEC, here in Vancouver, do the head spinning to make the balls. So the balls actually made out of two halves, two stainless steel heads that were spun into a half ball. And then I hooked up two engine stands through the holes where they had spun the heads and fitted them all together into a ball and then TIG welded it. And I actually had spun the ball with grinders and polishers until the ball was a complete perfect ball with a mirror finish, and put it on the dragon after I was complete the dragon, and the ball just disappeared into the dragon. You know, all the chrome and all the shininess,
it just
disappeared. So that's when I got the idea to take it down to a hot rod shop and have it painted, and we did it in a chameleon paint. So it changes color as you walk around.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
Iridescent sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, so then when things were a little slow for me out doing the artwork and stuff, I ended up actually going back to the hot rod shop that had painted the ball for me and started doing some metal fab and helping them out. And
sure.
That kind of probably is a little bit of the, you know, the in open the door for me to actually want to do it myself, because I seen the way this fellow that I was helping out wasn't there really for the money. It was more just to, you know, keep me involved in the cars and just doing something I love. And he was kind of running his shop into the ground, and I thought, you know, this is an opportunity for me to do my own thing and do it better than what I'm seeing. So that was how it started. And then another friend of mine who's been he's passed away now, but he's an old timer, and he had a small shop in Chilliwack here where I live, and he had been there for 20 years, and he didn't really, he built cars, but he just mostly did the metal fab, and then it would go somewhere else for body and paint and stuff.
Sure.
He would do, you know, Mustang clips and you know, mostly rust repair and
yeah.
chops and things like that.
The bread and butter stuff.
Yeah, and he got a hold of me and said, hey, you know, this shop next door to me, the Big Bay next door, is available for lease. And if you're interested, that's where it all snowballed there. So my wife and I decided to lease the building, and we took all my equipment from home, which I had a fair amount. And that's where we started. And then we just, as we progressed, we just kept adding tooling and
you know, we've had a couple
now we're at the stage. We've gotten to the stage now where my landlord that I leased off of, he had a property across the street that he had a rundown house in it and kind of rundown people that were renting it, and he wanted to get rid of the house and get rid of the people. So I said, well, if you are interested, if you want to develop something, you build me the shop of my dreams and I'll long-term lease it off you.
There you go. Sure.
And he did.
That's
he
a great
the
deal.
Trigger and
Very
did
cool.
it. So we're actually waiting for the shop to be finished. It's about it's more than two. It's probably 80% done now, maybe 90% done.
That's
so
awesome. How big?
It's not a huge shop. It's six bays, and it's about 6,000 square feet.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's a good amount of space.
Yeah,
sure.
it works for us, and we're thinking of actually keeping the space we're in, which is about 4,300 square feet. So then it would expand into the new building, and I would keep where we're at. I have an old paint booth, and we've bought a new downdraft paint booth for the new shop.
Right,
so
right.
The old building would be, you know, we'll keep it for priming and bodywork and keep all the dust over in the old shop.
Yeah.
And then we'll move all the cleanliness and fabrication and stuff over to the new shop. So,
that is super.
So we're really, you know, really looking forward to that.
I was going to say, when you were talking about the technicality of, you know, the doing the dragons and stuff, we've talked to several fab guys on the show, you know, in past times, and you know, it's easy that they kind of rip off how many hours it took and how much time. But you know, for people who are non-tool people who are just like, I can appreciate
right.
the artwork, a lot of times they have no idea how long
yes.
stuff like that takes and how technical and difficult
yeah.
it is. I mean, it is amazing. You see something in the symbol, well, that's $300,000. It's worth three times that just in headaches
right.
alone.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
That's actually how things went south with my investor, because when I unveiled it, everybody was so overwhelmed with what I had built. They're like, oh, it's got to be worth $10 million. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, it's not worth $10 million. But maybe it's worth $1 million.
But if you want to pay me $10 million.
Yeah, sure. But to the right place, maybe it's worth mm-hmm. that. You know, I mean, it was an expensive
sure.
project. So the Dragon was about $500,000 just built.
Sure. Well, if it took you 2 years, of course.
And it took me 2 years and lots of material and lots of costs. And so... we just started butting heads. I mean, really, that's how it happened. Is he just had, you know, these elaborate prices, and it kind of killed my career. You know, it just stalled everything by having such crazy pricing that there was just, you know, no interest in, you know, you can buy a lot for $10 million. You can buy a lot for $5 million. So
yeah, you can.
So for me, it was frustrating. And in the sad thing about it is they're still unsold. And I actually walked away from them and left them in his possession just to kind of get peace of mind. And that's when I started my shop. And
well, you know,
I know Steve's got a question. I want to just
sure.
pimp your website there for a second. MetalAnimations.com is the name of the shop where with the site where people can go and see your artwork. And, of course, it's Stone's Speed Shop for the car stuff. Steve, what did you have?
Yeah, I wanted to back up there and talk about the whole aspect of living in Chilliwack, Canada. I love that area. And how it seems to me, because there's a new show been on Netflix for 3 years, Rust Valley, which is just up the street from you guys, not too far away. How is it that you're able to maintain a shop and actually expand it within your region? Because a lot of people who don't live in Canada and much less BC area don't understand there's a huge, huge car enthusiast group of people that live up there.
It's crazy here. It really is. There is so many car guys here. And, you know, even living here, I'm always surprised because we're always seeing new cars and there's collections that people don't know about. There's guys that are hoarding cars off in their barns and chicken barns. And, you know, there's car guys everywhere. I mean, Chilliwack isn't a huge community. I think it's growing now, maybe 90,000 people. And, you know, we're actually just getting shut down now because with COVID, everybody's been wanting to, you know, everybody's restless. All the car shows are shut down. And so we started, you know, cruising, and the cruising has been popular because then it keeps everybody social distancing and everything. And then as things were settling down, especially here in BC, the numbers and the count was down, you know, several months ago, it was down quite low. And so guys started to gather at, you know, Sears parking lots or A&Ws and things like that.
Yep.
And, you know, locally here, just in Chilliwack, some of the get-togethers, we have an Elvis impersonator, and he started showing up at the parking lot and setting up all his PA system and doing a show. And, you know, we were getting 150, 175 cars showing up on a Thursday night. Just for a local gathering. And I just today received an email that the provincial government here now is targeting those get-togethers
and
demanding that there's no more than 50 people. And people that organize those get-togethers are looking at a $2,000 fine. And if you're even a spectator, whether you're walking into the area and to look at cars or you're there with your own car, it's a $200 fine just for attending. So I think that's going to squash, any chance.
That's a little draconian, don't you think? Jeez.
It to me, I don't agree with it at all. Like, I'm
neither do we
against all this, you know, this kind of stuff going on. They're making mandatory masks now.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we've had this virus since what, February, March, and now 6 months down the road, almost now they're starting to enforce masks at all the stores and things like that.
Oh
and,
yeah. Well, we're going through the similar thing down here. There's no easy way to do it.
So, Kevin, we were running out of our time.
Are we getting
time
close?
Yes, we
Man,
are.
And it goes so fast. We could easily talk to you for another 2 hours.
We do. So it would seem what we have seen here is the same thing, that cruises have started up. No real gatherings. If they are, they're just a handful of people.
It's a rolling car show.
And it's a rolling car show, and,
right,
and it is. And you're going through what we've been living through here now. And
yep.
But what I understand is people are still putting, they're listening to our shows and other shows, and that there's still a, pardon the pun, a fever pitch in interest in enthusiast cars.
A fever pitch. You're killing me.
Yes, and, well, we could take that off of Elvis
know,
song,
I know
too.
I it's the worst.
But anyway,
hello.
I just want to say it is wonderful to have you on and to share a little bit about your story up there in Canada. And Brady, what's the website again up there?
So it's stonesspeedshop.com. That's the car site. And the art site is Metal Animations. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, you can go. I have a couple different links. So Metal Animation, or you can simply go kevinstone.ca.
Okay. Because I know that Ron was looking up that one, and we thought, is this the same? Then there's some of the same pictures, and we got it. And then you also have a Facebook site, of course, so you can do Stone Speed Shop on Facebook and find all of Kevin's stuff.
Yeah.
And I tell
that's,
you, you
that's
can...
That's a great way to follow us because we are constantly updating and...
Yeah, the Facebook page is really rich, and you could spend a couple of weeks just going through the photo gallery.
It's endless, and you keep making people's dreams come true, Kevin.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Imagineering
that's
away.
Great stuff. Yeah. And Chilliwack, BC is proud to have you as a son, I'm quite sure.
You're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Cars Confidential is next. We're back with another story from Fenders for Fins and Friends.
That's right.
What's up this week, Brady?
I like it. Fenders.
That's exactly how Lance friends. Named the book.
It is.
He's like, I need a trick title for this book. It's going to be, let's see, Fenders. Fins.
That was after his third beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
I haven't said anything.
9 o'clock
today.
In the morning for Lance. No. Lance Lambert, of course, you know, he's the author of Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confections of a Car Guy, and he's got some other books as well. We love Lance because he's a good storyteller, and this particular one was actually, I skipped over a couple to get to this one.
Ooh.
Because this is Lance's love story.
Oh.
To his own garage.
I thought that was a...
No. No, this is called...
Ballet slipper one.
It's even got a picture of his garage in here. No. Sure. Dancing in the Neon. I'm going to share,
Dancing
he says...
Dancing in the Neon.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Sounds like a Barry Manilow song.
King no, Harvest. It sounds like Dancing in the Moonlight.
Sounds like King Harvest. Nobody knows who that band is. I'm going to share an embarrassing secret with you, like this is the first time, Lance. Many decades ago, dancing was a fun activity that I engaged in on a regular basis. My high school sweetheart and I attended all of the school dances. We took great pride in dancing to every song played by the band. We even created a few routines that we thought assured that we were considered great dancers. Ambulances were called, and they thought he was having a seizure, but that's a whole separate story. As a young man, I frequented a few bars, favorites, that had dance floors and live music. These establishments provided single gentlemen the opportunity to ask a young woman to dance, and, if a few more dances followed, possibly to begin a relationship. Well, playa. I enjoy.
That's a band.
That's right. The Ohio Players. And Lance was in Tacoma. I enjoyed dancing in those days, but I don't care much for dancing in public now. There's a reason for that. In fact, I don't enjoy it at all. The truth is that I'd rather dig ditches in my boxers during a hailstorm in sub-zero temperatures than dance
that
in public.
There, Lance.
Yes. I'd rather walk down the middle of a freeway eating steamed liver while dressed as Dolly Parton than dance in public. I'd rather, well, slide down a 40-foot razor blade into a vat of iodine. No, never mind. I think you get the idea. This is why the secret that I'm about to share with you is a mystery.
Not a secret anymore.
I enjoy dancing in my garage. It's a little creepy, Lance.
Yeah.
Recently, I was having a pleasant evening alone, futzing in the garage. The radio was playing a rock and roll song, and I was enjoying a libation. So he's drunk dancing is what it is.
Libation.
The evening was innocent and all was right with the world. My garage provides a haven where the world spins correctly and the disastrous scenarios that are unendingly yelled out of my TVs and computers are forgotten. It was then and there that it happened. I didn't consciously decide to begin dancing. It just sort of happened. I was so unconscious that I was shuffling around the garage before I noticed what I was doing. Then it got even worse, or better, depending on your definition of better. I really got into it. All of the old dance steps from high school came back to me, and I was working up a sweat. This is not a good picture. The song ended, and I stood there, panting in the glow of the neon lights that graced the walls of the garage while I wondered what the heck had just happened. Was there a dangerously high level of carbon monoxide or neon gas in the garage? Were there too many paint cans with open tops? Had the single Corona I had consumed been accidentally filled with bourbon? Whatever it was, I liked it. I was alone, and I didn't feel any judging eyes upon me. No one was there to correct my dance
technique.
He
was dancing by himself.
He was dancing in the dark.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Or snicker and tell me how ridiculous I looked. It was just me. Hey, wait, that's it. The mystery's been solved. Actually, I was not alone. I was dancing with one of my best friends, the garage. This is a sad, sad... This
poor kid.
Lance is a lonely man.
He is.
Poor kid.
He is.
And he's married, too.
I know.
To a lovely lady. The garage does not judge me. It wants only to provide a sanctuary of joy and comfort. It's a place that's filled with great memories and promises of a great future. It only wants to take me by the hand and swing me around until I'm consumed with both peace and jubilance. It is my very good friend. Okay, I'm calling the wagon for Lance. I think Lance is golfing.
On the other hand, I think we could all say our garage is acting
kind of the same
fashion.
I've danced a few more times since then and will likely dance again. Should I be embarrassed by this activity? Are there gyrations of a slightly overweight and aging car guy dancing amongst restored gas pumps and greasy car parts to be avoided? No, because my dance partner is as happy and carefree as I am and doesn't care how silly I look. Excuse me, garage, may I have the next dance? And Lance, of course, has published a picture of his garage
in his garage.
You realize, having seen it, and if you open up pretty much any issue of Garage Magazine, Lance's garage is in there. He justifiably calls it the Garage Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since he started collecting antique radios as well, you can't, it's kitsch 101 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got lots of neon and lots of really cool restored signs. And it's funny, it's only a standard two-car residential garage.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot bigger.
Wow, because of the way he's done it.
Yeah, it's really fantastic.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
He has yet to invite me to his house.
You just show up.
Stinker.
I've been there.
Yeah, just show up.
I'm going to have to do
that. Yeah, just go down there. About 3 in the morning is a good time.
Perfect.
He'll be happy to
catch
see
him dancing under the neon glow.
Sure, that's right.
He'll be happy to see you, I think.
Get up and
depending
boogie.
If happy means he shows up with a broken bottle. And
watch him get down. Watch him get down.
Baseball bat. Yeah. Lance, we really like Lance. He's one of our all-time friends. And, of course, he's been remarkably quiet this summer because most of the car shows that hire him to be the MC of them are not happening. So Lance is basically talking to himself in the garage and announcing his car. And
dancing.
And dancing. So it's nice that we picked this particular story. Fenders Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy. You can get it at the Vintage Vehicle Show website. Of course, you can also get it on Amazon. And all of Lance's other books are there as well. And we would not have such a cool show if it were not for Lance and David Dickinson, who's also provided an awful lot of great stories for this show. So thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
You know, the garage for me, it's been a haven for me to work with my wood shop. And I've been painting the house of the last month or so, and I got the big main part done. Now I'm doing all the trim, and it's three colors on the house. And so I'm little by little. And when that's all done, which is another couple more weeks, because I'm going to include the fence in on that, then I turn my attention to the garage, and that will be when I start taking things and
that's
moving around.
That's
when
we finally get to start working on your
Well, no, I put I'm going to put a glue lam in and replace the post.
Oh, right.
Which is going to expand the ability to use my garage from a two-car with that post in the center to an open shop.
And I just have one question.
You'll be in love with your shop.
And I'm going to add more electric outlets designated.
I have one question about your garage.
Excellent.
Before you take the post out, ask yourself, are you going to pull the motor out of that El Camino? Because
if you are,
you may want to leave the post because you can hook a chain fall up to the beam up top and you can take the motor.
I know some people who've got cherry pickers and I'm going to borrow
stands,
them.
Whatever you want to do.
And we're going to load up the engine. I've been watching
My engine stand a cherry picker out at Mike Zesbaugh's place.
Still?
Well, I gave it to him.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
So we pull it out and I watched how they do it on Rust Valley, and basically what they do is they take the engine, they put it on a tire, which is on a wagon, and they can wagon it right off. So I'll do that, take it to the backyard, put it in my shed. I'm going to use my storage shed, which is where I lawnmower. I've cleaned it all out. That's where I'm going to put all my car parts and engine and transmission and stuff.
Perfect.
While I'm working on the body, because
right
that's the major part.
That's the trick.
So I've got it all planned out, and, you know, fall, I'll have the I'll start videoing it when I start doing the rehab and everything.
We'll
and
get most
out,
of the
so.
Pull down done before it's the weather turns sideways.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
Because working on a car on a slanted driveway in the snow is less than fun.
You want to be able to put that engine and transmission back in the car and all that, get it all running before you paint it, because you don't want to mess up the paint trying to put the motor and everything back.
I have seen some of that. Yes.
The Nathan Lipinski weekly trivia question is next, and a peek at next week's show. Put it in park and stick around.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Hey, welcome back. It's Around the Wheel, and this is the one where we kind of talk about some upcoming events. The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question is also part of this show, and we actually had a winner from last week's question. Last week's question was pretty cool. There's a connection between Cadillac and Detroit, aside from the obvious connection. You know, Cadillac's made in Detroit. But there is a connection between those two, and lo and behold, a woman with a Detroit iron, Connie Valenzuela. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it correctly. She got with me on Facebook. And by the way, she drives a really, she sent me a picture of her car. She's got a really hot 54 Chrysler.
Oh, cool.
Sedan. And you don't see those, you know, tweaked up very much, but it's just a gorgeous car. So, Connie, thanks for the picture of your car. The connection between Cadillac and Detroit, the city of Detroit was founded in the 1800s, 17th century. And the guy, the name of the guy who founded the city of Detroit was Antoine Cadillac.
Oh, wow.
He actually founded the city that became the Motor City, for, you know, famous obviously for making cars.
Right.
But it was founded by Cadillac, who, of course, went on to manufacture an awful lot of road boats there under his last name. So Connie knew that. I think she Googled it probably, but she certainly came out with the right answer. So congratulations. Connie gets her full-color 8x10 winner's certificate. We're going to send her the thing on Facebook so that she can be sitting there posed with the ever-popular bucket of barn find dust. This week's question is, there was a specific number of American cars sold in Japan in 1995. Now, that sounds like a really old piece of information, but there's a key kind of thing that happens with that particular thing. So if you can tell me what the big deal of the number of American cars sold in Japan 1995 was, you too could win the Nathan Lipinski Automotive Trivia Question for next week. You can get with us on Facebook, of course. You can obviously send us an email to contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You too could win the coveted Certificate of Genuine Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Fine Dust, which is sitting right next to Rod Foreman as I speak.
What? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Behind him. Yep. And the little poo emoji is sitting on top of it. Nope. There's no connection.
It's on its own shelf.
But, oh, it's on
its own
shelf. Oh, you did. Now. You put it on its own shelf.
The poo is on his own shelf.
Oh, no, you just knocked something
you've
over.
You've dropped the poo.
No.
We're in serious trouble now. Also, coming up this week, you drop a Hot Pocket? What'd you say?
Hot Pocket, yep.
Oh, Hot Pocket. Fine. Coming up this week, there is actually a really cool show in Chehalis, Washington. I can't remember the name of it. Ron knows.
Centralia.
It was at Centralia? Well, Centralia and Chehalis are right next to each other. They're 100 miles south of the city of Seattle, and it is a it's actually a car show as opposed to a cruise. I mean, it's kind of
it's
a cruise,
kind of
but
a private show,
there's
but
a place where it is. What's the name of the thing? Ron's looking it up right now. I can't remember it. He's getting there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, the Lewis County Quarter Milers. They're putting together a thing called Gone to Chehalis, and it's August 29th. It's at Veterans Museum, which is right off Exit 77. So if you're in the Western Washington area, it would be a really cool show to go to. It's one of the very few we've actually had all summer because
we're
of the
going.
COVID
There's
thing.
A bunch of us rat bastards.
Yeah,
yep.
It should be good. Be a lot of fun.
Olympic rat racers are going to be there.
Night. Oh, yeah, Lenny's coming down.
Yep, Lenny's
all right, good
there.
Enough.
Well, tell cool, him cool. Well, you
that'll
know, cool. Speaking of weekends, last weekend, my wife went out of town.
And you don't have to tell us this.
I sat down after a long day of work on Friday night, and I watched Cannonball with David Carradine.
Breaker 1-9.
And then Saturday night, I watched Cannonball Rally with Burt Reynolds.
This
and
here
it
is
had,
the rubber ducky.
It had the almighty ambulance that one of our guests, and
yes.
Who was our guest that was saying that they rebuilt that thing?
I'm
trying to remember.
That's right. We did. Gosh, I'm going to have to look back in
was
the archives.
Was that Kevin Martin that did that, or was it someone?
No,
it was
Kevin.
Another person, and we had him on. I apologize. But
well, that's all right. We'll find it out. No worries. Hey, thanks for listening. It's really been good to talk with Kevin Stone, the Canadian fab guy. Appreciate him dropping by. We are, of course, on all of the usual iPod and iTunes and iHeartRadio sites. That's right. I'm trying to say sites. Thank you guys for listening. For
podcast.
Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I am still Brady Wright in spite of it all, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week. We got another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.